A place is prepared. But it does mean we cannot manifest on your surface. There is not room. That means that on evacuation day, the most important day of all, we cannot, for several reasons, get close enough to safely walk you aboard. That means we've got to transport you. It means we don't have time to set beam fragments on you to disintegrate, reintegrate. We're going to have to, in your time, working in your frame, send beams of light which will retrieve you. And this is what we do. We practice. We work at this all the time. Tremendous research programs going on. How do we lower our frequency enough in that beam to get you aboard alive and raise yours enough that you can withstand that traversing through that beam for that distance? It won't be just a little short distance. You're going to have to go miles. And if you have no faith in us, we've got to take you. Whether your body makes it or not, we are obligated to offer that, to take that step. And therefore, you can depend on getting to a craft, whether it's a shuttle craft that shuttles you elsewhere, or if you are beamed directly onto a mother craft, you're going to have a lot of damaged bodies. And most will not make it, because most are expecting the wrong thing and they're not training for it. But we've come a long way. We have come a long way. We are learning, you know, that we can get you up through a much lower frequency than at first was perceived. All the while you're learning, so are your higher brothers learning. They're learning what they can do. And the whole system is geared and orchestrated and commanded by what we call Ashtar, because he has all the records. And he can instantly know, his fleet can instantly know which ones will make it and which ones will not. With all probability before they even start up the beam. But everything will be automatically computerized according to the entity being brought up. And it's got to be done rapidly. Therefore, the ones who are already in frequency with that light beam will be lifted first. All children will be lifted right first. They are automatically in the proper frequency. They are not to the age of accounting. They know not anything. But they are still functioning on the frequency of the God source. And they will be brought into safety instantly.
Okay, what's the age of accountability?
It doesn't matter. There is no age. It is a time of accounting. And it will come with different ones. Some will come into accountability at 3 or 4 years old. Hardly ever before that, because their physical growth and brain size is, they could not function even if they know, because they do know. They are birthed with the knowledge. But they too are birthed into a situation of immediate forgetfulness from this massive compression in which you live. You see, your planet is trying to blow up. You think it is being pulled by gravity. No, that is just a magnetic pull. You are being held in by compression, and it's called cold. Space is very cold. You are frozen into this place. And you are expanding, and you're trying to break free. And that's why, if you cut your body, you are held by compression. Everything in the universe is held together by compression. Expansion means death. Everything is desperately trying to hold to life, all the while it is working completely to death. So if you could reverse all of your thought patterns, you would be more nearly appropriately correct, appropriate to to your time and experience. You've worked this far only to find that it's the wrong direction. And what you do in this little interim period of time depends on what this last part of your cycle will be. And that is based on probabilities, possibilities, and always everybody pulling for you to choose the right possibilities. But nonetheless, prepared in any circumstance to follow through with the promise and the will of God as you were created, He will bring you back. Everyone will make it. Everyone will make it. In the ending, if there ever would be one, everybody would be home. And there comes a time when the universe rests. This is why I can't urge you enough to read the Pleiades materials that we bring. They've got it. They know it. They don't understand it all. But they understand it in such a way as to allow you to better understand it without that big gap. So you must understand that there are cycles. Everything is a cycle. And there is a period of time in which the entire universe sleeps, just rest. There's no creating going on. They're just rest.
And so each soul fragment also is at rest.
Yes. There is during that period of time where everybody has come home, everything is at rest, and then at some point it starts again. Because the cycling doesn't stop. This is just part of the cycle. And it will cycle around. There will be time to do something else. And maybe the next time you will go through an entire series of experience where splitting the atom is the only way to make it. Because with God, all things can be arranged so that they work logically and reasonably to a given conclusion. And you have experienced, see, a goodly part of this cycle. So you don't have to worry about what really happens. And it doesn't matter whether Ashtar is a being or a thought or a computer in a cube or a sphere or a linear thing, because everything works around this steel shaft spinning in rings. These pairs will pair off and they spin in rings. There is a full, logical, reasonable explanation for your universe, God, life, everything. And we're giving it to you. That doesn't mean you're going to understand it this afternoon. You have had eons of time to misunderstand it. And it's not going to fit what your senses tell you. So we're giving you some examples. If you are watching a motion picture, and this is something they've never been able to do anything about on film, if they are filming a rushing vehicle, it always appears the wheels are going backwards, doesn't it? That's because the wheels are going nowhere. They can't do anything about it. That is what projects onto a piece of film. But your senses tell you that those wheels are going this way. But your mind knows, because of what you've been told, that the vehicle must go this way. So in both instances, the senses are incorrect. They're giving you wrong information. And at some level of mental information, you know the difference. And the mind is just like a good computer to work it out for you. Even if it's a wrong answer. You have put in the wrong information, you will get a very logical, reasonable, wrong answer. What do you call it? Garbage in, garbage out. So you can't expect to go home this evening and say, well, now I understand the whole working of the universe. You can comprehend what I'm saying at some level, but you're not going to be able to sit down and explain to somebody that that's simply your senses telling you that, because you're going to get arguments, and you're not going to know how to respond to the arguments, so don't try. All you need to know is that you are projection from light source, and unto that source you will go. That tells you that you have the capability of matching that frequency, because you came from that frequency. It can't be any other way. And you've got to go a long way out of your way to make sure that you get your frequency boxed up enough not to be able to travel in it. And mankind's been able to do that really well. On the other hand, everything that is in total balance is in godness, in the void, and is doing nothing. The only way you can have perceived action is to get unbalanced, pressuring it, force against it. Because it will just be. You will just be. Unless somebody puts a foot to your rear, you will sit. And yet you have the busiest bunch of stuff going on within you. It would drive you nuts if you saw it. Everything working exactly. Even to its disease, it's working precisely as it's supposed to. And man has even boxed around with that. But always the godness or the knowingness will adjust to it. And when it can get no farther into adjustment with it, it just takes its energy source and goes. That's you. Now, don't tell me that mankind really knows what he's doing. That you would have a cancer-ridden body. Maybe you've had both kidneys removed. And you have an opportunity for a new house. It is the fear of the unknown, which has been instilled in you by the adversary to make you fear that perfection. Because if you could go just buy a new body over here, you certainly would. You try all the time. Look what you spend on aerobics just to go get yourself out of balance and avoid painting the house that would do the same. You get a fixed perception in your physical mind. And you think, unless it's this way, it is not right. And almost invariably, it's incorrect and wrong. The adversary knows this and plays on this and is clever and manipulates you. And then when truth begins to come out, they're going to assassinate George. Come on. But this is what the village of man has become. And all those nice people out there who worship every Sunday are going to say, "Raw to the assassin! They got that son of a gun!" And set you back another 3 or 4 eons of time. Now, don't tell me, sitting in this room, that compassion will override intelligent knowing of what God is. Because you know that procedure is incorrect. It is wrong. It is unreasonable. And yet that's what the masses will do. Instead of solving the problem, get rid of the source of irritation, and that's the one telling you about your problem. But the real dangerous ones are not the ones who make recordings like this. These are anonymous slime. They're the lowest kind of humanity that plays on the terror. But let me tell you, that is a Mossad characteristic. Don't you ever forget it for one moment. This is a terroristic tactic of the Mossad. Everything hidden, anonymous, terror. That is the adversary in action. But the one who really has a belief that this is incorrect information and may injure man will be the hero of the lot who does it silently. Then maybe tell the world about it. So you always have to evaluate even your threats. And you never take one lightly. It's like a live heart attack. Listen to it. Listen to it and act accordingly. You don't go ahead lifting weights in the gym if your heart is going to stop. And your heart will tell you. These are warnings. Listen to them. Keep the light shield around you. Because the adversary also has limits. And they're meeting them as they come to the school. There are just some things off limits, and God will not tolerate. And like the child, the adversary will push right up to the limits every time and try to pull you down by the means available to him. And the moment you get smug enough to think you can do it on your own or you have no fear is the day you're going to get shot. Dead. Colonel Bobright sat right there where Robert is sitting and told me, I think I must be bulletproof. And I remember thinking, oh my God, if you knew. We have to follow you ones around, literally, literally. But it's very hard to get at you if you allow that kind of protection. You just aren't there at the right time. They're there. These are the things that will always be, well, it was a real coincidence, you know. I just got out of there 36 seconds before the building fell down. Well, la-di-da. It may have taken us 36 hours to figure out how to get you out of there. You know, we want a little credit, too. We want a brotherhood. We don't want to do it. We want you to hold our hand. And we want you to stay close. Let's see. I was talking about Ashtar. I hope I've answered it. Ashtar is both a being and a computer. Ashtar is the title of the command. And the one who commands the Ashtar command is in charge of the evacuation. And if there comes to an evacuation of the total planet, all ones in all fleets are immediately under the command of that energy, that entity. And we're going to continue to call it Ashtar because I don't want to confuse. I do not serve in Ashtar's command, but on day of evacuation, I am in total service to whatever I am told to do by that command. Until that point, I pull rank on both the computer and this operation. And we don't interfere in each other's business. That's something that is also restricted to Earth planes. I would no more presume to go do his work. I don't know where you want to get that sort of thing.
Thank you, Ms. Hunt. That was an excellent explanation for me. I was able to follow it very well.
Now repeat it.
I knew I was overstating. Thank you for the explanation.
I have been accused of answering things in a book that I could have done in a paragraph. I understand in my own observation right now, I just did that.
Even so, it was very helpful for me. So I thank you.
What I really enjoy are the projections of these self-proclaimed channels. I'm sorry, I have to say it in that tone. I am a servant and I'm a channel and I'm going to tell you how it is. And in the next month or so, you know, I have now decided that because I'm getting this from upstairs, from God only knows who, but usually a pretty important one, is telling me that Athena is experiencing on Earth. And Athena is a very special being. Oh, let's see. Athena and Aurora are one. And Aurora just happens to be my wife. Well, then comes through the next rising a few months later. Oh, Ashtar is the twin flame of Athena. And Ashtar is going to come down and experience through an Earth person with his twin flame. Now, guess who that's going to be, everybody? Now, it's also going to happen at a time when the world is in such a mess that Ashtar Command might have to lift everybody off the planet, and yet this Ashtar is going to trip around the world for 3 days with his twin flame, having a fling. And all of you have to ask me who you believe. Is this one genuine? Well, it's genuine. It depends on what kind of genuine what you want. Does that mean that everything this person says is not real? True? No. A great amount of truth comes through those ones. There's no point in playing with them if you don't send a lot of truth through. Well, don't they know? Of course they don't know. They think they're speaking truth. But they have gotten smug. And this is a lesson I want you to have. Don't get smug and just assume because you are so-and-so that you are always in the protection and cannot be fooled. Because the moment you think you cannot be fooled, you will be fooled. And once say, well, all right, I demanded my face be cleansed, I did this, I did that, and still it turned out to be wrong. How will you know? Sometimes you may not until you know what you're writing or speaking or saying. And then you should have had teachers that trained you well enough that you know God would not have said that. God would not go cavorting around Earth with a woman to experience sexual intercourse. Come now, children. There is where the proof of truth lies. It isn't only that he wouldn't do it. It's written right there against the laws as given forth. And if he comes to experience as man, he is still bounded by those laws and commandments. And therefore, he would not do such a thing. For one thing, that one that he would come to experience with is a married woman married to Elijah. He would be committing adultery, which is a no-no, according to the commandments, wouldn't he be? I don't care who he calls himself. Those are your marks of truth. Those are the reasonings that you can go through. If you have not been lied to the point that you are set in your belief system, that you can't be fooled. Now, one's asked me something else, which is very important, that crosses my own mental patterns here. One's want to know about what happens in these instances of replacement. This is why one cannot deal with Robitaille. What happens to the soul of the original? How can you do this and how can you do that and why can they and, well, how do I know this one isn't? You may not know that one isn't or is. It doesn't even matter whether or not you know. Neither do you need to worry about the soul energy of the first one. How do I know that? Reason. You cannot be tampered with against your will. That is the law to the adversary. It's the law of God, period. God will never use force. The adversary will use physical force if at all reasonable. He will choose that. He will choose the lie if the truth would have served. And the more ridiculous, the better. Well, what of that original soul, though? Once somebody has been held down and replaced a piece of skin or a genetic DNA particle, now we've got a replica. Well, what about those ones? How do you know they're going to be bad or good? Well, the good ones are useless. Ones will say, well, had they already sold their soul to the devil? Well, I don't want to put it that way because that doesn't mean anything. But I will say that everyone who is downloaded into a computer body made a bargain somewhere along the way. Or the brain would have downloaded the purity that was already housed in that brain. And no matter where you place it, will not function in the manner alien to its own makeup. So you've either got to destroy the past data and program it to suit the moment, or forfeit it. Now, all sorts of things happen. And in some instances, in the downloading of the brain, or the computer, the data system, into the replica, it is so good that it cannot be utilized. So part of that will usually have to be wiped out, and it still will not function properly, and it becomes a very obvious thing and very unusable. Those they have to get rid of right away. If that soul energy was so good, then there isn't any discussion about what happened to that soul. Now the next one is, well, is that soul then watching what they're doing? Well, with a great deal of detachment, because it is no longer really experiencing them. That is a replica. And it no longer is affecting the life stream of the soul that has departed. Now, these are the things that are nice to ponder about, but if you spend your time hung up on them before the absolute revelation can come through, enough in the makeup of mind and thought patterns, you're going to just drive yourself nuts. You will tell me, Oberly.
I'm telling you that we have about 10 seconds left. But I got another case.
Where are we to, group? Can you suffer more?
We get all the time in the world, too.
Yes.
How is it that cold fusion in the Bible represents you, not cold to...
Because neither term means anything. What you're talking about is something called heavy water. It is not fusion. It is a creation of putting adjacent things into proximity and they produce something. It is not literally fusion. And of course, when you are talking about atomic fission, that is splitting these atoms.
Excuse me now.